Blog Talk Radio.
Assalam alaikum. On this beautiful day, we call Tuesday evening on Blog Talk Radio. I am Murad Muhammad, and I feel honored and very excited, and I feel good about we all have awakened today to be able to come to you this evening, knowing the holy month of Ramadan. A special month for us here in America and around the world. We established Islam in America in 1930. Fahad came from Pakistan and taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Islam was established. A lot of those before him tried to establish it and could not, even though they was talking to the educators. They couldn't grasp Islam to be able to establish Islam. But most of them, leaders, had the ability and the qualification to deliver it, but it was not the will of God. Because if it had been, we would all have been more familiar with Islam. However, there was a time and place that Islam should have been established. But you can't establish any religion with the ignorance, with men and women that was deaf, dumb, and blind. It would have been very difficult to do so. So it had to come through a process. And that's one thing tonight, inshallah, we will be able to see, in fact, we can establish that. Why it comes through a process. Man can't say be and is. Only God can say be and is. Man must go through a process in stages to be able to reach the intellectual mind for you to comprehend and bring into enlightenment your knowledge and your subconscious mind to be able to deal with society as is given to us. And so we want to talk about Ramadan. And we want to talk about the beginning of Islam in America. We also want to speak about the current events that's been taking place. And hopefully we can talk about that. I only got a short period of time, and an hour, my God, I'm just beginning. But once again, this is the holy month of Ramadan, and you have to bear with me because I try to give my allegiance to my Lord. And prayer time comes in right after we go off the air by 8 o'clock, no later than 8:15. And then we begin a new day in the Islamic calendar after Maghrib, we will begin our new day. And hopefully we can talk about that also. But I want to thank you all for tuning in all walks of life. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come into your homes, your automobile, wherever you may be, to take time out to just to listen to me. I will never forget that, and I won't take it lightly, because I know this could not happen without the will of God. This is why I give thanks to Brother Imam Alfred for having the foresight and the insight and the ability to understand that the word of God is not something you just learn overnight. The word of God is something that you have to fight your psychological mind and bring it into the vision to see God, not with the naked eye, but with the spiritual eye, with the ability to see God for itself and utilize that knowledge to be able to give back to those who do not see it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through man, is able to make the blind see, through man to able to make the lame walk, through man to make the individual to stand up in his spirit, in his soul, and want to embrace the Lord of all the world. So we have to acknowledge Imam Alfred Muhammad, because if he had not seen my ability, I would not be on the radio. For I do not ask one to give me anything. I don't ask. And nor do I seek the position to want anything. I don't do that. But if it's for you, God will bring it to you. And when it comes to you, you should be ready and bona fide and qualified to be able to deliver. Because when your brother calls you, you should come for all that which is good. If he calls you for wrong, you go the other way. But if he calls you for doing something right, you should embrace that. And I was called for Brother Alfred. I came in as a guest, and he chose to allow me to speak to you all on the radio. And he has delivered over 9 various different entities that speaks on world knowledge. And those entities was prior when I came, yes. Before me, it was other imams or those great doctors and lawyers that speak on whatever they speak about. However, I am a little different. I try to touch on everything to the common individual that understand what life is about. And you can't see life out of your intellectual mind if no one don't touch that spirit. That spirit, Satan can't touch. But you got to tap into that soul, and you got to tap into that nature in which God has created you. So when a man respects another man, he's a man. Because a chump is inferior to another man. And he ain't going to allow you to take his platform or his mic or his podium, or his church, synagogue, or his masjid. That's not going to happen to a chump, because a chump fears that he will lose his position. Why, brother, you have no backbone. Anytime a man can help you, and we are a community, and inshallah we're going to speak about what is a community. And if you are a community and you understand that all of us must be able to come together collectively. And you might be sick today, but someone's got to take over. You might be sick next week, but someone's got to take over. You might be ill next month, but someone have to be qualified, bona fide, to take over. But what a chump does is he goes and brings one inferior to speak to you, knowing perfectly well he cannot touch your intellect, he cannot touch your soul or your spirit, because why? He's on the job learning. He knows that, but he doesn't understand whether he is a rabbi, whether he is a reverend or pastor. Well, in fact, if he's an imam, that Allah will charge him with bad intentions. Oh, brothers and sisters, he knows what you were doing and what you attempted to do. But you plan and you plot, and God plans, and God is the best planner. So Brother Alfred chose to allow me, and we're going into our late 50s, on being on the air, and I like it. I like it because I'm able to give you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name, has given me an enlightening of all of Scripture. And I have time after Ramadan to go in these various different words that's used in the Injil that you refer to as the Bible, the Old Testament, and explain that there's nothing wrong in how it's written and what it represents is your interpretation. And your interpretation is so off and no one is helping you because you go to one that don't know or one is an enemy, don't want to inform you. Why? Because he wants to control you. And so therefore he's not going to enlighten you. Because you may know it better than that individual. And so therefore, I always appeal to you all before I begin. I take this opportunity to ask you all to send in a contribution. A contribution to help your brother so he can help himself. Help himself to do what? To get a better house or put an extension on his home? Help him to do what? To buy a brand new plane, as some pastors are doing, or to be able to pay his spouse seven figures because she needs it, or to be able to employ his family members so they don't have to worry about living in poverty. Or how are you going to help him? You're going to help him to be able to take care of everybody and don't care anything about you or what you have to do to survive in society. I don't think so. But nevertheless, we have to understand that this is something he didn't see, that most of y'all didn't understand, that internally we can have cancer. And if in fact you were struck with cancer, you need to pay those bills because the insurance company don't care about you. You should thank the President of the United States. You should thank the Supreme Court. This is law. And within 1 year, if you get caught with no insurance, you pay a fine. Just like if you get caught driving an automobile with no license, they will charge you with a misdemeanor. You're going to pay a fine. Well, that automobile is you. That body is your automobile. It gets you around. You can't walk anywhere without the legs. So you got to have insurance now. That's your license to take care of that machinery that God has given you, that human machinery. And it's law that if you don't have it within a year, because there's no excuse. You can have cancer. You can have sugar diabetes. You can have any disease. You can even be pregnant 5 months before the baby, and they have to insure you if you get the insurance that Obama agreed to have. But it doesn't stop beyond your insurance because cancer is serious. And it takes a whole lot beyond your policy when you get radiation and other things that you have to do. So therefore, if you were sending money, it would lift the burden. It would help him tremendously. That's from your pocket. Give, and then make a dua. That's from your heart. Sadaqah, that's also charity. Give that. Give that to your brother and help him and pray that he can be around to God. Allah says it's time for him to go. So send in your dollars and whatever you can send. If you consistently send it, it adds up. I remember raising money. We needed $100,000. We didn't hit that mark. But when the brother asked who got $2,500 and can pay it off in 1 year, them hands went up. Like someone said, who wants $1 million? Like someone said, who wants a brand new house for free? Them hands shot straight up in the air because the burden was light on them to be able to pay out money every day or every week or every month until they got to the $2,500. Well, likewise with yourself. And sometimes you can't send money unless you receive a check in the mail, unless you was able to work this week and don't get paid but every 2 weeks. So if you send money every time you got paid at the end of the year, it's significant, especially if there are hundreds of thousands of you out there that are listening to me can do just that. You know, we'd like to say Bismillah the Rahman the Rahim. My beloved Muslims, my beloved brothers and sisters out there in Radio Land, we say Ramadan Mubarak. We thank Allah for this month of Ramadan, this month of fasting, the month in which there is many blessings according to the word of God in the Holy Quran. We thank him for presenting us today our life and our health. And we pray that he always will guide us and grant us mercy. This is the holy month of Ramadan. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sa'asa wa salam wa sa'asuli kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salaka wa deen. And brothers and sisters, I would like to talk about Ramadan. I think I'd be remiss if I don't pay attention to the holy month of Ramadan. And I want to thank my listening audience, and I want to give a shout out to my beloved Christians, men and women, is understanding the month of Ramadan more than they ever understand. Well, why? They are asking questions. And asking questions, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, that's intelligent. If you ask a question, you are intelligent. Because it represents you don't know everything. And so if you ask, you will get the answer. Or someone will give you the right answer. And how do you know the right answer? You know the right answer because it will fit your nature. When someone says something to you and your skin crawl, run like hell. That means it's your nature telling you that that ain't right. Your intellect might tell you, keep doing what you're doing. It's like doing wrong. You know you're wrong, but some reason you like it. You like to rob somebody, but your nature is saying you're wrong. You like to rape somebody, but your nature say you're wrong. You like to do drugs, but your nature is telling you something is wrong. You can see it, you can feel it, but you ignore your nature. And we have people that just running over children today. Adults are being killed in the streets. Because automobiles don't care. But they keep going because their nature say you was wrong. And so they figured if they keep going that they'll get away with it. But their intellect is telling them to do that. But their nature is saying turn around. and go back. The reason they don't come back because they high off of drugs. They high off of alcohol. And they prefer if they come back the next day, you will not catch that alcohol in their system. So they won't be only charged with murder or attempted murder or felony for striking a human being like it's an animal. So they figured they'll leave for a day or two. But you understand, after 3 days, Satan gets in and tells them, don't ever go back. And so you no longer have consciousness. These things are happening every day. You see prisoners escaping, they call maximum security. But it's more than they escape. It's more than that one got killed. Well, he wasn't coming home anyway. Plus, both of them are murderers. So no one pretty much cares about if they die. But those two men brought enlightening on what's happened in the prison system. Isn't that amazing that you can get caught for a bag of reefer and be treated like a dog, an animal behind the prison walls? Isn't it amazing to me that they can assume accusation? You ain't even went to court yet, and you are treated like an animal behind the door. Isn't it amazing to me that you have came over here and came through the system? However you jumped that fence, my Mexican brother, however you came from over here, from getting around the wall, however you did any of that, isn't it amazing that they treat you like you're not human? Why? Because you're black. Oh, my Latino and Mexican, any other of you, you ain't a Caucasian, you're black. That's how they see you. And so therefore you catch holy hell. But yet two murderers can have sex behind the wall. Two murderers can do drugs behind the wall. Two murderers don't even have to be in their bunk. And their brother, who looked like them, turns their head. This is all coming out. Now, not the correction officer that can make a few dollars. They now are charging. He's got to prove himself innocent. But they're charging the superintendent. That's the head man, the head honcho. And the next man in command. And the next man in command. All three top men is being charged with 9 officers involved in drugs behind the wall, involved in sex behind the wall, involved in court cases. Whether you are murdered, you get treated better than the black man. Now, you should be upset. But this will go away in the next 4 or 5 months, and you won't say anything about it. That we, the black man of America, will be treated like an animal and was not even proven guilty or innocent. In the Constitution, it says innocent to proven guilty, not if you're a black man. Oh, no, you're guilty, and you must prove your innocence. But the more important is all about money, revenue. Prison is money. Going to jail is money. Putting 2,000 in a jail that only holds 1,000 is money. Who's being paid this money? A whole lot of hands are dirty. You bust the guy on the corner, old little Bobby, or Raheem, gets 5-10 years for a bag of reefer. And you bust him, But the men that control the prison system and that owns the system makes money with the real drugs. In maximum security, this is where you get life. This is where you have no less than 20, 30 years. And yet, someone is turning their head. Well, I've been saying that how the little Johnny at 7 years old know where the drug dealer is, but you officers don't know where it's at. How is it guns come in the city and no one manufactures the guns in the city, but they got every gun you can think of? How is it that murders can take place in a city like North, the biggest city, and we can't stop it? Oh, you can go and bust little Raheem and little Bobby, but why don't you bust the man that brought those guns in? Who manufactured it and who sent them in? And who turned their head? You are considered a jungle. Let them kill each other. And little Johnny, you think he's a murderer? No, man. Give him a toy and he'll go outside and play with it. And they see him outside. You better not get caught outside today, because they shot down that little young boy, 11 years old. Killed him because he's out there playing cops and robbers. Literally killed him. But yet a young man blows up a worship house of God. Goes in there and kills 9 innocent people. And when they stopped him, they looked in the back window and saw it was a white boy. They put their guns back and treat him the way you're supposed to treat a human being. Innocent until proven guilty. My brothers and sisters, that had been a black man, they would have shot up the car 100 times like they did that black young girl and black boy. The guy jumped on the roof like a cowboy and shot through the glass 130 bullets from all those policemen, killed those two people, and they blame it on the car backfire. And nobody is checking to see if that make of a car can backfire. Now they're chasing these two white men. If that first guy would have dropped his rifle, they wouldn't have killed him. How do they find a murderer that terrified the entire city, the entire state, and you bring him back alive? Where did he shoot him at? In the leg? Well, if there had been a black man, that officer would have emptied his gun. But that was his brother. That was his brother. And because it was his brother, he ain't going to kill him. How is it that they can difference from one human being to another human being? My brothers and sisters, you should understand that these things are happening because why? You are a black man. And what I'm trying to do on this radio is raise you above saying that you are a black man. If you come back to the nature in which you was created, you would say, I am a human being. I am a human being. And I want to be treated like a human being. You was 1/5 of a human being years ago. And you graduated to be what? A black man. And so therefore you are a target, black man. And they shooting you down like animals and justifying it. I spoke to you about Ramadan. The first day of Ramadan is the first 10 days, which is mercy. Mercy God gives us. And I explained to you the first 10 days, we go back in time. Because if you live in this world, then you're a world of what man has given you. But when you go back in time to understand that you are reverting back to the knowledge in which God has created you in heaven, that's the mercy, if you chose to go back. We in our second month. our second 10 days, and we call that forgiving. We come in the 10th day and we beg Allah to forgive us since He gave us the mercy. Now we want Him to forgive us. And then we have our third 10 days that's coming, and that's blessing. Third, 1, 2, 3. Why? Why is God saying that month of Ramadan represents the blessing? This is a blessing month for the human being to understand why he was created. And why three? Why you keep hearing three? Well, the man comes in at birth as a mortal human being. That is your first stage. And then your third stage, you grow into your intellectual birth. And when you get into your intellectual birth of man, then you come into the understanding of your spirit. So those are the three levels of the human being. That's why it's broke down in three when we do the month of Ramadan. But you're coming into the world. Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. Allah says that Muhammad is the universal prophet, letting them know that you don't just think as a human being. You got to carry yourself and stand up for the whole entire world. You're coming into the world. When you're coming in as a baby, but you're entering into the world and you cannot survive in this world without your human intelligence. But you have to be obedient to God to have that human intelligence. And you got to have that spirit. The spirit with knowledge without the spirit, you are headed for destruction. You must come into the light of understanding to understand why you are created. So the holy month of Ramadan is a blessing month because this is the month that revelation was given to mankind. Through who? Through Muhammad the Prophet. But Muhammad the Prophet got it during the holy month of Ramadan. They said, Adam, send it. Send it. This day, this month, from heaven. But did you ever think that how could that be the month of Ramadan given us to us by Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Muhammad the Prophet couldn't read? The scripture says that Muhammad the Prophet was told to read three times. There we go again with the three. And he couldn't read. God was saying, read in the name of your Lord that created. Created what? The sign. Everything in creation is a sign. The birds, the bees, the insects is a sign. The land, the water, the stars, the moon is a sign. You have to see God's signs or you can see God. You have people saying that, I don't know if God did that. All you got to do is read His signs. If you read His signs, then you will know what God is able to do. He give it to you in His seas. He give it to you in His air. He gives it to you in the stars, in the moon, the sun. He gives it to you in His vegetables, His garden. All of these is a sign of God to show you that you can't come in this world without what? The will of God. So if you don't study the word of God, but you want to study pastor, you want to study reverend, you want to study the imam, you want to study the rabbi, you want to study that if, in fact, you was making love to your husband, that's not dirty, that's clean. That's your spouse. Making love to your husband is a blessing. And if, in fact, God utilized you, you can carry a baby for what? Your husband. But if you making love to your husband and you call him out of his name. Now his name is Raheem. His name is Culpepper. How about Butch? But you call him John. You call him Tom. You call him Saladin. How do you think that spouse gonna feel? What will he say to you? Well, whatever you're doing, he gonna stop. What did you call me? That is God saying to you, Christians, how do you call him Jesus? When he's the Lord of all the worlds. Now, you so out of touch with reality that you believe it's the right thing to do. Well, you can't tell intelligent people that. You cannot call God out of his name. And you sit there like it don't mean nothing. Oh, Jesus. Well, hell, Jesus was created in Christianity by the Jews. But what did Adam call Jesus? He didn't exist. What did Moses call Jesus? What did Lot call Jesus? What did all the prophets, did they call on Jesus? But yet, you are that unintelligent that all of a sudden, God came through the womb of a human being and named himself Jesus. Not God. Oh, he didn't want to show you his identity? Or what is he, a phantom? What is he, a ghost? He came to you directly and showed that he is a human being. Oh, something is wrong with you. And then you wonder why you're suffering. You're trying to wait for the number to happen. You're trying to wait for something to fall from the sky. You buy oils. You buy water. You buy beads around your neck. When you put a cross around your neck, you have just said to the 8 billion people in the world, I am a damn fool. Because the cross represents nothing but idol God. That don't get you nothing. You go in that hospital with that cross behind your neck and call on Jesus, while God may still help your ignorant self. But you get rewarded when you give God the credit. Oh, God. Say it in any language you want. Oh, God. We say Allah means the God, so you don't get it confused. And all intelligent people use the word Allah. So these law in common sense. And so our day starts early in the morning. 3 o'clock, 3:30, we eating, and we preparing for the daylight. And so we make our Fajr prayer. And then we prepare for the day of fasting. But fasting, brothers and sisters, is not just abstaining for food, because many people cannot abstain for food. And I've been fasting all my life since I was 13 years old. And my doctor, through my blood, says, you fasting, aren't you? I said, I don't know how to do anything else. He said, Murad, you got diabetes. You want to kill yourself? You think God wants you to die out of ignorance? So you must eat. do everything else in this month that is a ritual, but to be obedient to God. I ignored him almost for 2 years until I came into the understanding that he's right. God is most merciful. But my knowing what God wants from me was more important. And so we was coming into breaking our fast. It's called My Grip. And a lot of brothers were doing a sunnah prayer. Sunnah prayer is your own individual prayer. Some did 2 rak'ahs, some did 4. I was sitting there. I guess I looked like a sore thumb. And then my grip began after we broke our fast with a little water and date. And I did my 3 rak'ahs. And when I salaamed out, I did 2. Some brothers did 4. And a brother approached me and he said, "May I ask you a question?" I said, "Yes, I noticed when everybody was doing their rak'ahs, you didn't get up. And I noticed when it was over, you did too." I said, "Oh, you observant, aren't you?" "Yes." I said, "Well, is that a question?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I learned what's the meaning of my grid. My grid represents a new day. And the 3 rak'ahs is the tradition 3 prayers for my grid." Now, I don't have time to go into why the 3 rak'ahs. Matter of fact, I did that with you about 3 or 4 months ago. So most of you are educated and understand that. But I found out that most people don't know what the 3 and the 2 is. There's no rak'ahs before Maghrib, and there's 2, not 4, after. Now, if you did 4, 2 before and 2 after, by not knowing, Allah will reward you for your ignorance. But if I tell you why is 5, maybe you will be conscious, because I sure plant the seed, why we do 3 and 2. 3 and 2 all day long is 5. That is the 5 senses, the common sense that God gives the individual in the womb. It's a blessing. So Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Wadisdi Muhammad was able to study Muhammad the Prophet, and we don't ask why we do things. We just do it. That's not Islam. Islam ain't just do things. Islam teaches you, you have to study why you do what you do. And I'm quite sure if I had the mic and explained that it represents the 5 senses, the common sense of the human being, and you begging Allah because you got to make your intention now because that day is over. That night is over. Daylight is coming in. So you ask Allah to bless your 5 senses to stay intact for a new day. Simple. But they don't know that because they don't ask questions. They just go through the ritual. Well, why am I saying that? I can't be just teaching you why we do what we do. And everything we do, Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam articulated from Allah to us, is man that comes and do all these other things that has nothing to do with Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam nor Islam. Because we don't want to follow the Ushwa of Muhammad the Prophet. May the peace and blessings be upon him. We want to follow someone else's idea. They call it their taqsir, their way, their education of Islam. But Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, and I'm a student of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, and he taught me every little thing why we do what we do. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, eat with your right hand. That's in the Quran. Eat with your right hand. And the brothers took it so literally that they won't touch nothing with their left hand. Well, do you think God is unmerciful, a brother that's lefty, trying to eat with his right hand, spilling his food because some nut told him that he's supposed to eat with his right hand? What about the brother that lost both arms in the war? What hand do he eat with? Since you eat with your right hand. This is the stupidity that's being advocated in the community and nobody is talking about it. Allah's not talking about your hand, man. Well, your man Wallace Muhammad said the Prophet meant eat right. Eat what's right that you put in your mouth. Now, if that makes more sense than your right hand, oh, I thank Allah for Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, for those who don't study his taqsir. I'm telling you, brother, you ain't got that connection. You got dots, but you ain't got the connection in which Allah wants the human being to come to. Keep in mind, for 12 years, that's half of the lifespan of Muhammad the Prophet. For 12 years, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't teach you how to pray. You want me to repeat that? He did not teach you how to pray. So what was they doing? They were listening to the Quran. They was reading the words of the Quran, but they wasn't praying. They didn't know how to pray. He didn't teach them. But what did he teach them for 12 years? To interact with the neighbors. Interact with your Christians. Interact with your Jews. Interact with the paganism. The pagans, they believe in the eye of God. Go meet them, greet them, talk with them. And my God, you don't do it today. 12 years! Whoa! So where was Ramadan? Well, you read the Quran. It starts off with Fatiha. Then it goes into Baccarat. Should I go on? When do you get the Ramadan? There was no Ramadan. There was no Eid. Why? They weren't ready. Just like you ain't ready now. But the problem you got is after the fact. They wasn't ready. To prove that, you are manifesting you ain't ready. And it bothers me that you don't even know this. So Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, began to teach them how to pray. Then when they was growing, he introduced them to Ramadan. You can't take this religion and be spent. Just do what you want at the time you want to do it. Don't work like that. Allah didn't give Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, revelation in 1 year. Why, it took him 23 years to recite the full extent of the Quran. There's a story about, the Quran tells you about the black string and the white string. Same way with your right hand. And the brother literally put two strings under his puller back then. So that means that part of the Quran was already written because he read it. He told Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can't understand how one represents the night and one represents the day. And Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that don't mean the physical strength. That proves what's going on today. Imam Muhammad taught us, I say us, who follow his taqsiyah, I say us, he said, see how ignorant they was back then? That what they was reading in the Quran, they took it physically. So he had to teach that brother that it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean your right hand, brother. For a brother who got a left hand, he can't be right. He can't put the right food in his mouth. We put our right hand over top of our left hand. So you under the impression that something's wrong with the left hand. But if you don't put the right over top of the left, you out of order. Now, hold one of your left hands now. If it ain't broke or it ain't limb that you can't use it, you look like a fool not to put both of them together. So that left hand that you take physically is important, fool. But we put it over the navel because that's the attachment to mama, because you couldn't live in that heaven, in that paradise, without that navel cord. So your navel is important. But I'm saying all of this because you asked the brothers, let's get together. And I found some imams and some single brothers say, oh, we'd rather stay on our own land or our own property or with our brothers, whether they from the islands, whether they from India, Pakistan, whether they from Egypt. We want to stay with our brothers. Well, that ain't the teaching of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How could you read the Quran and make those statements? For if you read the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you can do all, Muhammad said it to us, if you go to Hajj and make 1,000 prayers in Hajj, why your prayer stands for nothing if you don't go to Arafat. Why? Because on Arafat you unite with the whole entire universe. Oh, you understand that? God is saying your prayers in your individual masjid stands for nothing until you mingle with humanity. Now, we got men and women from all over this world, and yet we got to come together as one to worship Allah. And you decide to stay in your masjid. Why, brother, you cannot say you read this Holy Quran. You got to practice Arafat on the two ears. Because that's where everybody is at. But you got imams that chooses to stay in their own masjids. And I finally figured it out. I figured it out because I watched them. I observed them. And I found out it has nothing else to do with but money. And it's just like the reverends, that they get that money, but it don't help you all. It helps their own self-gratification so they can pay their mortgage or they can pay their bills. Oh, I know, they give something to the masjid. But not one imam comes to you and say, brothers and sisters, we just raised 1,000 today. Brothers and sisters, we raised 40,000 today. Brothers and sisters, at the end of the year, we got 200,000 in the bank. Brothers and sisters, we just spent 50,000 on this, 50,000 on that, It's called check and balance. They don't tell you nothing. Why? Because they feel they don't owe you anything. And so they feel in their little pea brain that their little money and their individual masjid is more important than come to Arafat. When Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, told them that even on Hajj, the fifth pillar on Hajj, that if you don't go to Arafat, your prayers is not accepted. You didn't complete your Hajj. Yes, you are reverting back to the nature in which Allah created you. This religion is universal. It's not you from Egypt. It's universal. It's not you from Pakistan. It's universal. It's not you from India. It's universal. It's not from you, Turkish. It's universal. It's not you so-called American Negro that woke up, embraced Islam, and want to stay in your own habitat. Why the ants is more intelligent than you is, because if you look at the ant kingdom, you ain't finding no bird in there. If you look in the bird kingdom, you're not going to find no ants in there. While, brother, they stay in their own habitat. I saw a monkey go up a tree, and something about that leaf is so nourishing that he goes and eat it. And before, in a matter of 5 seconds, 1,000 insects attacks him. He itching like crazy. They bite him so much, he got to get out of there. Then they show one that got so slick that he could hold on with his tail and reach over and eat the stuff without the ants getting on, and the ants and the kingdom of the ants knew how to get to him and bit the hell out of him to protect their tree. And those are ants. Beavers are with the beavers. Cats is with cats. You see cats coming down the street, those are cats. You don't see no dog with no cat. And you don't see no cats with the dog. So they're more intelligent than you are. We are human beings, but we're cut up. This ant is over here. This ant is over there. That ant is over there. That ant is over there. They will get nothing done if the bees split it up. Now Allah sends us a sign. That's how he talked to us. Read, Muhammad. Read in the name of the Lord that created you. Read your sign, brother, Imam. Read your sign that Allah created you. And maybe you'll make the right decision. You want to go and split and be by yourself with 50 people. You prefer that than do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you fearful, you inferior, complex, weak individual. You inferior because you believe someone's going to take over. Matter of fact, let's look at it. Take over what? Your little kingdom. Because you can't say they're going to take over Islam. You can't say they're going to take over the Ummah. That belongs to Allah. It don't belong to you. And so we had a meeting. And some didn't come. You know why? Because they did that thing. The mayor wants everybody handing a proposal. And I sat there for 2-3 meetings and heard these proposals. I didn't want to say anything because I got a radio show. I could talk to the world with no interruptions. I might be doing something right because we're on the air and we're successful. But the mayor came to tell us that we have to come together as one and send a fireball, Kristen. And I don't have no problem because everything she said was correct. And told them that you're worse than the preachers. She said she had no idea because he never came in our home. Well, y'all need to look at the Godfather. Because he told his son, Sonny, you will never tell nobody outside this family how you feel. Well, we ain't a family. Once again, we ain't practicing Islam. So she said, y'all worse than the Revens. Y'all can't get together on a name. So we agree on a vote, democracy, on New Africa. And New Africa was created. But they didn't know what I was going to come back with. And so the brothers and imams that didn't show up is because they feel that they got theirs done. They don't need to come to no meeting no more. They only came to the meeting because it was economics. Shoe fit, wear. Because I tell it like it is. Because if everybody was going to get $100,000 that day, you wouldn't have gotten the door. Coward. And they want to do their own thing. So the woman said, Lyle asked her, said, well, where's the copy you're supposed to have for me? She said, somebody told me not to submit it. Who is that somebody? Now, I know who this somebody is, but I ain't going to say it because we got nuts out here. See, you'll find that somebody in the hospital with a broken leg. And then when they operate and put that back together, they come in and break the other leg. Then when they operate and put that back together, they break both of their arms. So I can't tell you who it is. I know who it is. Because anything you tell them, they telling it. Because they're saying, isn't this something? I got to keep a secret from the people they say they love. Why, brother, let me tell you this. An imam told the brother in the restaurant not to let the other imam come there. Now, who is he? Well, can't tell you his name, but they said the cursing, that's how they call it, the cursing imam. That's how you dress our imams? The cursing imam? Who do the cursing? I want to know. But how do you go against your Muslim brother? Now, you telling me this is the imam that's leading the Imam Wallace D. Muhammad's community? Well, brother, you're fake. Now, I'm totally against that the imam went into a restaurant, but I would never tell anybody outside his family how I feel about him because it hurts the whole community. So they come together and say not to submit the name. And when Eliel gave her hell and being respectful, all of a sudden, they all wanted to cut that one out because she might have would have told it right there. But that don't bother me with that petty kindergarten stuff. So my sister made a mistake and said, well, Murad just didn't give us an address. Because in her mind, she's looking for an address of one property, a little house, needs to be renovated. I don't do that, my sister. I do things big. The proposal I submitted was $600 million. Everything in the proposal is backed by certified major corporations and banks called letter of intent. That'll blow anybody's mind. And that's my private creativity with the group that I joined. chose to make it New Africa. Because where I'm going with it, I might not be here next week, next month, next year. But those 700,000 homes, 1.7 million homes being built to give the people free, affordable homes on my qualification, meaning you can't bring nothing in there inferior. Well, when you see these homes, if the one that don't look like you, we call Caucasian, will charge you $350,000. You ain't bringing, I want a $350,000 in value, but that home only cost me $100,000. So why would I charge my brothers and sisters in the poor area $350,000? They can't afford it. And I ain't rigging no papers to get them a loan. But if I can't put them in those beautiful homes for $700,000, the maximum $1,000, all depends on your bedrooms, that your Social Security can pay it every month, that your pension can pay for it every month, and if you get off of your ass set and go to work, you can make $15 an hour and pay your mortgage in 1 week. Well, how are you going to do that, Marat? Bring it in the factory so they can go to work. 900 jobs a year for my people. Now, I know the mayor needs us, and we love him because I think he does have a backbone. But he ain't giving us nothing. For there's $170 million being spent right now in North. In the Haynes building. Go read the papers. Just look up North Haynes building. And you'll find out that the city of North put $40 million in. You will find out that the private sector, including Shaq O'Neal, put the $100 million in. They don't live here, but they got the prime area. And the mayor can't ask them to march in the streets where people get killed there. But you come to us and want to see us in the street to order qualify the worst garbage in the city of North. But guess what? I'm from North, and I got clout, and I make deals. So I said, who else going to build that up but someone who has a love for North? So give me the garbage, because those my people. I don't need to come downtown where they're doing $1 billion and we ain't got nothing to do with it. You don't even see us going to work. All that building down there, half of North should be employed, but they're not. What, Johnny can't carry a hammer to the carpenter? Johnny can't carry the salt and the things that the contractors need? Why, we ain't got handymen? They get $25 an hour. But everything downtown don't look like us in our city, because that's what they do. And if it wasn't for Shaq O'Neal, we would not have anything, nothing whatsoever. We will not have. So no one's doing us a favor. But the difference is my proposal is not individual. All those names, go check it out, is owned by 1, 2, 3, 4, or 7 individuals. Go ahead with your bad self. We don't care about that. Go ahead and eat. But don't fault me. I asked Allah to give me $600 million. That's how I do things. So Kareem come up to me and hug me. And he said something that touched my heart. Don't leave me. Grabbed me hard. Didn't let me go. Crying, don't leave me, because he saw it. Who thinks of something like that? Brother, it says New Africa, that's you too. You all could be stuck on stupid. But if you want the New Africa, that's yours. That's your babies. That's your future. That's how I think. Well, I could be the greatest asset the mayor ever had. I ain't looking for him to praise me. Give the credit to Allah. because I want all the garbage. Because in order to get downtown, you got to come in through the outskirts. And the outskirts is us, the Central Ward, the West Ward, the North Ward, the East Ward. All those wards is down in the gutter. So we don't want to build just one side of the boat. It will tilt. We got the South Ward and the West Ward looking like beautiful New Africa. But then we left the other part of the city looking like nothing. No, that's not me. I got it that way because I've done things with men that somebody, and they said, as long as Mirage part of it, we would do it because it's got to be right. We can make this Mayor Jackson from Atlanta, but we're going to build millionaires. And just so happen, they're going to look like us. So when you see Caucasians around me, I tell them right away, this is service rendered. Sure, they're going to make money. But if my people don't make money, if my community don't make money, I ain't interested. They know how I talk. And when they were talking wrong about New Africa and they want to stop New Africa, you pea-brain, no-good backstabber you are, when they want to stop that, I poked up the report and said, this is a multi-million-dollar corporation. All these men represent hundreds of millions of dollars in their own entity. And that name, Muhammad, in New Africa is above them. And they ain't give me one problem with the name Muhammad, not one problem with the name of New Africa, but some pea brain, some person with their self-gratification, with their ignorance of doing the holy mother Ramadan, try to stop the name that Imam Wallace D. Muhammad chose for the whole country. Well, it didn't work, brother. It didn't work. May Allah change your heart, but you sold your heart. And your heart tells us you ain't with us. Well, you go on with your bad self and be by yourself, but we build it. Inshallah, you will see us in the Miller Lite building. Because Bill Parcell told me, call Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones called who? Christie. Not Governor Christie. Christie Mararo, who owns the Meadowlands, that we coming. You go ahead and week with. Well, we'll be there too, and we'll tell you when. You'll see it on the Muslim Journal, because we negotiate how they can buy $100,000 every 4 months of sponsorship of the Muslim Journal. Yeah, I'm negotiating that now. And the reason why I could tell you that, because there ain't no one out there in radio land, TV land, can get that close to a multi-billionaire to make sure the Muslim Journal is promoted properly. The only vehicle we got. So I got a shout out to my beloved sister Aisha. I'm coming. I'm coming home. I told her to hold the fort down. We coming home. You can wait for these people if you want to, but we got them lined up. When you open up that newspaper, you're going to see languages in all different races. Why? So it can go in their country. So the brothers here can read their own language. You ain't got to support us. Getting back in line. We ain't going to forget you, but take you, your ass set in back of the line. You'll play catch up later. We ain't waiting on you. You want to build something just for you. You want to attach something just for you. You want to make a proposal just for you and play like you with the community. You fired me up. I got to close down. I want to thank you for listening to me. And if I said anything to hurt anyone, my job is to wake you up, not to hurt you, not to run you away. Wake you up. And come back to Allah. come back to your obedience to the Holy Month of Ramadan. Beg Allah for forgiveness. This is a forgiveness week. Beg Allah to forgive you for your ignorance, your stupidity, and you going against us. I ask Allah to forgive me if I say anything to drive you crazy or nuts. I ask Allah to protect the men that is physical and like hurting people. Allah has changed Satan during this month, so don't take on Satan's job. I say that so you can go help your brother. That's what Muhammad the Prophet said. Help him do what? Help him do right. Know that he's wrong. So go help him. If I mispronounce anything or didn't use the Arabic terms properly, well, I'm human. I make mistakes. I'm growing. But you got the point. But if I say anything to make you understand that Muhammad, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, want us to come together for it and want us to show the world that we are united. The whole world is united for the sake of Allah. Let's bring Arafat. Let's bring Arafat for our Eid that will take place on the 17th of July. We are booked for the 17th of July, and we want to be prepared. We got a new announcement on Tuesday. You'll probably read in the papers first, but we got a big announcement that we're going to speak about, and that's good news. Thank you for listening. As I greet you from all the prophets, from Adam to Jesus, Abraham to Muhammad, with the Arabic language of the Holy Quran, given to us by Allah Himself. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. And may Allah be with you. Thank you for listening.